him, the Lord. And we saw that that was part of our healing and our restoration. And then we saw that we are established in his righteousness, that imputed righteousness of Christ towards us. And then we looked at that thought of all judgment for believers is gone. And we saw that God isn't mad at us anymore. Good news, amen? That we are a new creation. What the old has passed away. And then we looked at the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and we looked at that thought of sozo, which speaks of our salvation, but even more than just salvation, our wrapped in within that is that healing, total healing, body, soul, and spirit. And then last week we looked at this thought of justified by faith, and for some that might be a difficult concept. Justified, because we don't hear a lot about it in our daily life. But basically, it's a legal term, and it's being pronounced not guilty, or acquitted, or vindicated. And again, that thought of God remembers our sins no more, and God no longer is punishing us. And so it all kind of, what we've been looking at is that kind of debunking that thought that, you know, because we fail, we make mistakes, and all of us, amen, fail, make mistakes. We're not perfect yet. We're not perfect. But there's people out there that you know, think that God is mad. The first time do something wrong, pow, pow, you're a rotten person. But God's not like that. And so I hope as we've been going through the series of messages that we have a greater awareness that God's not mad at with us. Despite the mistakes that we do make, despite the, you know, we were sinners, but we still are working out our salvation, amen? And during this working out, God's not mad at us because he's already paid for that punishment, that shame, that guilt. And so we're identified not as sinners, but we're identified as saints. Redeemed, reconciled, justified. And that's our identity. That's I want us to get that very clear purpose and picture of how God sees each and every one of us who call ourselves saints, Christians in the Lord. And we're going to be kind of shifting today's message over to another aspect where justification ultimately leads to our sanctification, the thought of sanctification, which is probably for some of us another kind of a big word, maybe a word that we may not understand completely, but hopefully by the end of this. And so, you know, we need to approach God knowing that we're justified, but admitting, as we've been going through the series, admitting that we had nothing to do with that reconciliation, that salvation, that has been paid for. That everything up to this point has been done by the Lord, by his finished work on the cross. And it's just something that we need to, by faith, receive and begin to walk out. And so there, we're going to be looking at this kind of the next step. So, from this place of identification, this place of reconciliation, this place of justification, what do we do as Christians? How do we approach this that we've been given, and what is our right attitude and motives as we go forward? So let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word to us this morning. I pray, oh God, that Spirit of God, that you would anoint every word, that every word that is spoken will be from your very heart to each and every one of us. And I pray that you'll give us understanding through your word today, that we could be your disciples, your servants, that we can go forth in complete victory, and that we can grow in you in the days ahead. And I thank you, Father, for your presence here this morning. And we do just look forward in expectation of the transformation that you're accomplishing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, if you want to turn with me first to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And again, there's this thought of being justified by faith, not by works, not by anything that we can actually accomplish or do in ourselves. It's simply by faith, believing in the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, today, so many people are looking for that peace. And here's the simple step. By faith, justified by faith, is how we can obtain that peace. That's through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And this word access, a very interesting word. It's also where the word admission, as I thought of admission. And so we have admission. And I, you know, I'm thinking of the theater. You don't get into a theater until you have what? Admission, a ticket. And so what is our ticket into these promises? Our ticket is what Christ has already paid for. He's already paid for that admission. That's good news. Amen? He's already paid for our admission, our access into what? Into the very presence of God that we can enjoy by faith. But it's by faith. And so this is the ongoing work that we have to accomplish, that we are doing, is by faith, that we have to appropriate it. We have to daily walk by faith. You know, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So there's that aspect of our faith that we need to walk out by faith. Faith is what gains us access into God's grace. Not our goodness, not our works, not our performance. It's by our faith. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so, from this verse, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died to myself. I've died to my old nature. It is no longer I who live in me, but it's the life which I now live. It's the life of Christ that lives within me. And this is going to be very important as we look at some other verses coming along, that we understand that it's no longer us. It's no longer that old nature. It's no longer that fallen nature. It's no longer our past that lives in us. It's the future, the Christ that lives, that new life that's living in us. And so as we have been looking, we've been looking at a lot of scripture in Romans in these last couple of weeks. And if we remember from in Romans chapters 3 through 5, they speak of, Paul was speaking a lot about substitution, Christ dying for us, paying the penalty for us, for our sins. And then we saw last week the justification. And so the righteousness imputed to us. We're saved by his death. And then Paul goes in Romans chapter 6 through 8, he's speaking more about identification. Our identification is we died to him. And just as Jesus died unto sin, he paid that price, he died, he broke sin's power over us. And then that thought of, he speaks a lot about sanctification in these chapters, that righteousness imparted. So we had the righteousness imputed, is what the work that Christ did on us. Now there's this thought of righteousness imparted, that sanctification. This is a process. This is a progressive thing that is happening as we walk with the Lord. And this is very important because this is what we have to be intentional about. Beginning to walk, beginning to progress, to grow up in the Lord. We have the imputed righteousness that is in us. But you know, when we first come to the Lord, does our outer appearance, does our outer behavior all of a sudden, in an instant, become like Christ? No. We need to grow. We need to begin to walk out that which is within us. Amen? And so Paul's been preaching on this thought of grace and emphasizing how God loves us independent of our performance, independent of what we do, because that love is agape love. Everyone understand that agape love is that unconditional love. That's the love that he has for us. And I praise God that he has that type of love. It's not like that love that so often we do, that as long as you're doing things good, you have favor with me. But if something goes wrong, like our kids, little grumpy mom and dad, that, you know, that we still love them, but, you know, sometimes that love is tested. But, you know, the love of God's not tested in that same way. He loves us. He sent his son while we were yet sinners, imperfect, to die for us because he so loved us. And so we have that thought that it's not about what we do that earns his love, earns that salvation. But in Romans 5, verses 20 and 21, it says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Paul said in Romans 6, 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And so here's this question, and perhaps as we've been going through this set of messages, we might begin to think about, well, if everything's been paid for, if there's no performance, there's no need for, so do we have a license just to live like we want? And, you know, someone that would read this is like, well, if sin abounds, if grace abounds where there's sin, well, I might as well just go and be the best sinner in the world, because more grace would come upon me, right? That's what that, you know, if you read that, you think, is that what God is saying? Is that what the gospel? And Paul says, by no means, by no means. Romans 6, 2 and 3, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. So how many of us were baptized after we were saved? And if you remember, we went under the waters of baptism. And what did that signify? That signified that we died, right? It symbolized that we went under the ground, in this case under the water, that we died, and we signified to everyone running around us that we were dying to our old nature. What happened, that was a symbol of what was happened spiritually in us. And so Paul is using this argument here, is that certainly not. That's not what I intended by that, saying that grace abounds more in sin. Because really what he was saying is the grace of God, he was giving an example of the grace of God is so abundant to even the worst sinners that they don't need to say, I'm unworthy even to come to the Lord. He's saying, my grace is abundant for any sinner to come to him for salvation. And so that should answer that question. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, no. That is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we die, when we came to him for salvation, we said, I turn 180 degrees, right? I repent. I turn 180 degrees, I forget my old life. I'm saying I no longer want to be that person. That person has died. That old nature has died. You know, I'm thinking of an illustration. You know, consider a drunk or someone, a drug addict, and they suddenly die. And so my question is, are they still a drunk? Are they still an addict? Well, no, because as a dead person, they no longer desire those drugs, that alcohol, right? They're dead to it. And so it's that same picture that we need to have, that understand that we, if we truly have died, if we truly are Christians, believers in Christ and his payment for our sins, that he paid for everything, we've been justified, we've been reconciled, we've been saved, that if we are truly dead, then all those things that we practiced before, guess what? They died too. And we shouldn't be raising them up, because then we're, right? And so, but how many people really understand, as they're walking with the Lord, that understanding of that dying to that old nature? And you know, I'm wondering how many people, when they struggle with this, have they really received that full justification in the way that the Bible, the gospel speaks of it, and understand that is dead, that is put under the sacrifice of Christ. And I'm wondering if that's the reason why so many are not getting the full benefits of walking with the Lord, of the New Testament, of the New Testament church. The old man has been crucified, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Romans 6:6 through 8. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And so this is that part of, we died with him, our identification with him. Now is that sanctification. We begin to live, what? In him, not in our old man, not our own nature, but we begin to walk out. We begin to live. This is our, in one sense, our responsibility, is to begin to walk, not in the death, but walk in the life of Christ that dwells and indwells us. And so this thought of sanctification, I want us to understand, it's God's progressive separation of a believer, of us, from our old nature, our old sin nature, habits, and we begin to be transformed in our total life experience. It's a transformation, if we think. And so that righteousness, that holiness, that character that indwells us, that's been imputed to us, now we need to align our outward life, our outward behavior, with that which is within us. Amen? We need to begin to walk out that salvation. It's not that we're earning it. We've already received it. Amen? We've already got a mission to that. But now we need to begin to walk out. Why? Is it for the Lord's benefit? No, it's for our benefit. As we begin to allow that sanctification to take place in our life, it's going to benefit us in becoming more and more like Christ. And so, but we need to understand, the message that I've been talking about for the last 8 sessions, 8 weeks, sets this whole thing up. Because I believe, and if you, as we've been studying Ephesians, I believe if we don't understand that very thought of our identification in Christ's death in what he's done, then reconciliation, justification. If we don't have a clear understanding on that, then as we begin to walk out, we risk not having the victory in our life. Because in our life can be up and down. When the enemy comes, if we're not clear about what Christ has already done, our identification in his death, our identification in what he's done for us. And so when the enemy comes and says, look at you, you just blew it. I don't think you're justified. And we can turn around and say, but my justification's not dependent on what? On what I do. That's already been done, paid for. Admission has already been given to us. And yes, we need to then say, I need to repent for my walk, my behavior. But we have that identification. We have that access to the transforming power of God every day. You see the power in this? But it begins with understanding our identity. Our identity is not dependent on the way that we live. Our identity is dependent solely on what Christ has finished work. So very important for us as Christians. If we stay fixed on that, the walking out, the sanctification process becomes so much easier. Because when the enemy comes, we just kick him away and we say, get out of here, you're a liar. Because I am justified, I am reconciled, I am saved. My behavior doesn't depend on that. But my behavior will depend on that I continually work out that sanctification in my life, allowing the Holy Spirit access to my life every day, and to begin to work in our outward behavior, our outward character, that which is within us, which is a Christ. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And again, it's everything about Christ, about what he did, of who he is. Everything that we do from now on, as we begin to walk, we go back to that very thing, that Christ loved us first. Christ did everything for us first, so that we can then begin to love. We can begin to walk in him with a power. And I also, this thought that as I was going through this, is that we will serve him infinitely more out of love than we would ever out of fear. Amen? And so there's too many in the church that have this outward adherence to rules and religious activities, but that will never set a person truly free. It is a love of Christ. It is that desire. So once we understand our reconciliation, our justification, it's out of that that there's such a gratitude, there's such a desire to begin to walk out in freedom. And so much more transformation will take place than some type of rules, regulations, outward things that we need to adhere to. Amen? I praise God for that. For that very thing that he's given us. And so hopefully we can understand this question. Can I just live in sin because God has forgiven all my sins? Well, we've already seen the answer is no. We need to begin to walk out differently.